NASA's space shuttle program is finished, as we all know, but space exploration is not. Next month, two spacecraft will head for the moon.
In November, another spacecraft is bound for Mars. And later today, the spacecraft Juno is scheduled to launch from Cape Canaveral in Florida on a mission to Jupiter.
It will take 5 years to reach the solar system's largest planet. NPR's Joe Palca has more.
First, Jupiter. Why Jupiter? Well, it's big.
It's the largest of all the planets. In fact, it's got more material in it than all the rest of the solar system combined.
Scott Bolton is a planetary scientist at the Southwest Research Institute. Jupiter was also probably the first planet to form in our solar system.
And that's why it's very interesting to us if we want to go back in time and understand where we came from and how the planets were made. Jupiter holds this secret.
Bolton is principal investigator for the Juno mission.
What we're really after is discovering the recipe for making planets, and we're back at the first step of making sure we have all the ingredients in that recipe.
It'll take 5 years for Juno to reach Jupiter. Once there, it will have to avoid the intense bands of radiation that are near the giant planet.
Those radiation belts at Jupiter are the most hazardous region in the entire solar system, other than going right to the sun itself.
Just being near Jupiter's radiation belts meant adding a lot of shielding to protect Juno's sensitive electronics.
We're basically an armored tank going to Jupiter.
A 3,500-pound tank with three large solar panels and a bunch of scientific instruments. At Jupiter, Juno will go into an orbit that takes it over the poles.
Not only are we over the poles, but we're getting closer to Jupiter in our orbit than any other spacecraft has gone orbiting Jupiter. We're only 5,000 kilometers above the cloud tops.
That's about 3,000 miles. But if you think that's close, it's nothing like how close the Grail spacecraft will get to the moon.
We're actually going to be mapping the moon from 50 kilometers or about 30 miles above the surface.
Maria Zuber is a planetary scientist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and the principal investigator for Grail. The mission will map the moon's gravity. Orbiting that low means...
We're actually going to have a higher resolution gravity model for the moon than we have for the Earth right now.
Grail is actually two spacecraft, each about the size of a washing machine. They'll orbit the moon one behind the other. They'll measure tiny changes in their velocities caused by changes in the tug of gravity coming from the moon.
We can actually measure the velocity change between the two spacecraft to a few tenths of a micron per second, which is a micron is a millionth of a meter.
An accurate gravity map will provide clues to the core of the planet. Zuber says a planet is like a member of your family.
It's not what they look like on the outside that makes them special. It's what's going on the inside of them.
But scientists are still pretty interested in the outside of Mars. That's why NASA is sending another rover to land there. A year ago, I visited John Grotzinger at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. We talked standing on a balcony overlooking the clean room where the rover was being assembled.
Over here, then, you can see the rover, and just last week, the wheels were put on.
Grotzinger is principal investigator for the Mars Science Laboratory, the rover's formal name. It's about the size of a small, compact car. It's not going to bounce down to Mars the way the rover's Spirit and Opportunity did.
The Mars Exploration rovers basically crash-landed softly with airbags. Mars Science Laboratory is so large that we need an active propulsion system.
In other words, a rocket-powered soft landing. It's a new system that involves a space crane that lowers the rover to the ground on a tether. Try to watch one of the simulation videos. There's a link on our website, npr.org. It's a wild landing scheme.
We're going to land a rover that can explore for habitable environments where microorganisms may have existed in the past or may possibly exist today.
The plan is for the rover to land in a place called Gale Crater. It will measure the minerals in the rocks to see if they make up an environment where life might have been possible, as well as compounds that might have been left behind by living organisms.
So we'll be able to look for large organic molecules if they exist in the rocks and soils.
Grotzinger admits that finding these organic molecules is a long shot, but he says Gale Crater seems to be the best place to look. Assuming all goes well, the Mars Science Laboratory will start its roving next summer. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.